You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca.
That's Spec. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. It's pretty. I'm not sure how you can do anything other than awesome. Yeah, on a day like this one.
It's true. This the next few days here are going to be unbelievably nice and warm. So. We'll get to we just had Durant got traded from the Twins, the best, you know, probably the best closer available. He goes to the Phillies. So that's probably so far of all the deals, likely the biggest one. And there's going to be a few more. You know, when you can see what, some of the deals were today, man, what the Jays gave up yesterday for Dominguez looks like a bargain considering what the Mets gave up to get their guy.
Well, and tomorrow's trade deadline. I know the Blue Jays don't play tomorrow.
No,
but there is games tomorrow, or they take the whole day off.
No, there's a few games tomorrow.
They do. They are. Hey,
yeah.
I mean, we always have that argument in hockey. They should take the whole day off.
Yeah. There's only three, but still, I agree with you. I could make the argument that you should do it, but there are, you know, Tampa's playing the Yankees, Atlanta's at Cincy, and Texas at Seattle. So.
That my eye on the Jays today, they did get a bit of a sloppy 9-8 win, but they needed to stop the bleeding here. They've all of a sudden, their pitching staff's given up a touchdown every single day. So 9 runs it took, but at least they got to they got off the road with a win here in Baltimore, so that was good.
Oh, God, no, they definitely needed it, man. There is some teams this year, Spec, they just like the White Sox are awful and they can sweep the Detroit Tigers who are first place. Like, you know, it's funny. The Jays, they lose 2 out of 3 to Oakland. They lose 3 out of 4 to Baltimore. And then they're crushing Detroit and the Yankees and other teams. It's just a wild year in MLB, which makes it exciting, really. Like, it's extremely unpredictable. No question about it. But I do think the Jays here with 23 hours left before the trade deadline, they're close. Their team is really good. I expect them to push in a few more chips.
Oh, for sure. If you're not doing it now, you know.
When are you doing it?
When you're doing it, right? No. I believe they got a 4.5 game lead heading into action tonight on the Yankees. So, listen, that's a really nice bulge of the trade deadline. Absolutely full expectation. I mean, they got a reliever yesterday. Full expectation of a higher-end reliever or even a starter. Before this deadline passes tomorrow. And, I mean, come on, Shapiro and those guys, you know they're working at it. And, you know, it can happen where you just get outbid. You were talking yesterday to somebody who was saying that their farm system isn't as good as others. And
yes,
that means that other teams might outbid you. And it can happen,
mm-hmm.
You know. But those, I guarantee you, they're in there. Shapiro and those guys are in there pitching like crazy today. And, they'll turn something up. I think the Jays will get a little bit better tomorrow. I sure hope so.
Yeah, it would be good. Now, Spec, I know it's off season, but it's always good to talk a little bit of Oilers. And when you look at it and you know that you've got some expectations here. I wrote the article today because I had the AFP guys on and I wrote about the McDavid thing. And then the expectations for Ekholm and Wallman and stuff. Like Wallman at 6.5 for 5 years. I'm like, I like Jake Wallman. He had a good playoff, but he's not going to put up the numbers he put up in the regular season last year because he's just not on the power play like he was in San Jose, right? He's not here in Edmonton. And so, like, and I have no problem signing Wallman, but if you have Wallman and you have Ekholm and you have Nurse, you have one guy, you know, who's going to be in your third pair making at least $6 million. Like, it's not really ideal overall, right? So obviously it's great to have good depth there, but you know, with Brett Kulak and Wallman and Ekholm and Nurse, like they'll start the season fine, but I got to think they might move one of those lefties to get a righty.
Well, I mean, would be your question, which are you prepared, you know, is Jake Wallman prepared to sign here? And as a righty, say, hey, we're going to pay you a little bit more, but you're going to play the right side, or we're going to give you, you know, whatever, and you're going to be a right side defenseman. Brett Kulak's played his share of right side. I think it's pretty fair to say that given his druthers, he'd rather stay on the left-hand side. I think most guys would. Not every guy, but most guys don't love going to the other side. So you got to do one of two things. You got to find a guy in your group who's happy to say, like, I think this shifting back and forth and moving a guy in and moving, either you A, take a guy like Wallman and say, Wallman, you're going to be a right side defenseman from the start of the season to the end of the playoffs. You're going to figure it out over there. You're going to get a lot of work over there, and that's what you're going to be. Or B, you're going to let one of your lefties go and go find a righty somewhere. One of the two things has to happen, but it's about time to sort of make a choice, don't you think, Jay? Don't you have to commit one way or another here?
Oh, yes, 100%. I think you have to. And I think it's, to me, it's kind of obvious where you're going. Now, you can get through the regular season. It's no problem. But I do believe that it's a, you know, it's nice to have depth. So that's why I wouldn't do it to start the season, because what if a guy gets hurt for the first 30 games or 40? You've got depth. That's no problem. But ultimately, and not only this year, but you can't, I don't think you can sign Wallman, Nurse, Ekholm, and Kulak, re-sign all of them, not Nurse, but the other three, knowing that, you know, and then you're going to keep, if you're signed, you have to move someone if you're going to do it, because they need a second, like a legit second pair right defenseman who's not a left shot.
I think you do too. That's not a left shot. I agree with you. Again, you know, unless Wallman says I can be that guy, you know, there are guys who played their whole career on the offside, Charlie Huddy being one, that became very effective at it. So I tend to think the same way you think. I tend to think you need a righty. I also think we're jumping the gun a little bit at this. Let's sign everybody a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to sign everybody.
I agree with you.
You know, I don't, sure. You want to sign Connor McDavid as fast as you can because he's Connor McDavid. You know, guys like Evan Bouchard and you know, guys that you know for sure you want on your team for as long as you can keep them. Yeah, sign them as fast as you can. Lock them up. But I don't think that has to be the case with Wallman. Has not to be the case with Ekholm. Doesn't have to be the case with Kulak. You know, maintain some flexibility, man. See what happens here.
Yeah, like honestly, like Mattias Ekholm's going into his 35-year-old season. I wouldn't sign him before he's 35. I want to see what he's doing, you know, halfway. Like, I can always sign Mattias Ekholm next May, next March, next April. I want to see how he's doing. I'm not, because I don't believe that how he plays entering his 36-year-old year is going to get him a massive raise unless he's signing in L.A. with Ken Holland.
Yeah, you know, the way I look at Mattias Ekholm, knowing him and knowing his family and that they're pretty happy here and probably, you know, looking to stay here is my sense of the Ekholm market. I would say the question becomes, Jay, let's watch him play. Let's see where he is. Let's monitor, you know, injured, if he's injured, if he's healthy. To me, it's, we're going to sign Ekholm, but what are we signing him to play?
Sure.
You know, is he going to sign here, take closer to third pairing money and play less? Is he signing here as a second pairing guy? Does he knock the lights out and make me think he can play a couple more seasons with Bouchard? You know, let's figure out what he is. I think he's going to sign here. I think he's a smart enough, old enough guy to sign here for a proper amount of money. I don't think he's taking anyone to the cleaners, but he doesn't want to sign for third pairing money and play first pairing minutes either, nor should he. So let's figure out who we're signing, what we're signing. And I'm pretty sure Mattias Ekholm ends up signing another, you know, 2-year deal here.
Okay. Mark Spector joined us. What about, I've had some people say, well, Pod Colson, you know what, he is what he is. He's not going to get better, which I always kind of chuckle at, because I look and say, look at Warren Fogle. Warren Fogle spent 6 seasons in the NHL. His career high in goals was 13. Then in year 7, he scored 20. And then last year, without McDavid or Draisaitl, he scored 24 in LA. Played. Telling me that Pod Colson, who was a first-round selection, who, you know, has shown great forecheckers, got some good instincts, you know, not the smartest player overall, but he's got good instincts, skates well, is physical. You're telling me that he can't rebound and be a 15, 16, 17-goal player in the next few years? I think he's the prime candidate for a player who has more upside than downside.
Oh, absolutely. And on this roster, you can't look at this Oilers roster and tell me you don't have room you don't have a spot for Vasily Podkolzin to play. Even if he doesn't get better than he's playing right now, if he remains the same guy, there's room for him on this roster. He's big, he's fast, he hits, you know, he forechecks. He's only going to get smarter, even if he doesn't get a ton more productive. And I hear what you're saying with Fogle. Podkolzin could absolutely be that guy. And maybe he's not that guy. But so let's say he's just the third line winger or fourth line winger. That's fine. You need those two. And they shouldn't all be old like Janmark, like, you know, like Henrique. You need younger guys coming in. So to me, like, you can't pay the guy like he's done it yet, because he hasn't scored 20 yet. But I got a room on my roster to figure out if Pod Colson becomes that guy? Absolutely. Why are we sending him somewhere else to figure that out? Why not do it here?
Oh, God. No, I think there's a lot of potential for a player who, you know, like he's a guy, Spec. I would try to sign Pod Colson this summer because I think I could sign him for less than I might sign him for next summer. Whereas Ekholm's a different one for me. Even Jake Walman, Jake Walman would have to have an unreal year to get more than the projected 6.5 million people think he's going to get, right? Like, he'd have to have an unreal year. So, especially with Nurse and Ekholm, like, there's just not that many minutes to do it. So, I could see that, you know, a little bit. Now, he's maybe want to keep him, so whatever. But the Pod Colson, I'm like, man, if I could get Pod Colson, I would bet on a contract of 3 years right now on Vasily Pod Colson. Because at bare minimum, if all he is what he is, because people forget, Pod Colson had 10 points in 22 playoff games. For a guy who doesn't play on your power play, it's pretty solid numbers.
Every player is different. You know, Pod Colson's on his way up. Yes. So if you can sign him early, you sign him early because you think he's going to get better. Jake Walman is not going to get the power play time that he had in San Jose. I'm not signing Jake Walman on a six-year deal based on numbers that were largely accumulated somewhere else. That's not wise. And Matthias Ekholm, I mean, listen, I don't ever want to come across like I'm speaking ill of Matthias Ekholm. I think the world of this guy as a person and as a player.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is he's nearing the end of his career, and I wait longer to sign Matthias Ekholm so that the window I'm signing him on, I've got more clarity. I want to know if he stays healthy. I want to know if he comes back from the groin injury he had last year. So every player is different, right? You know, then there's a McDavid. You just sign the McDavids of the world as fast as you can and for as long as you can, because there's no question that you want them. So you can't have a uniform approach for every player. That's not how you manage your team.
No, not at all. What about Stu Skinner? What would you look at a timeline, or what would you need to see from Stu Skinner to re-sign him?
Well, I'm probably re-signing them there's a couple things here. What we have to remember in all these conversations is, Jason, the players have agents, and they're really smart, and they know the market. So you may come to Pod Colson and say, I'd love to sign him early. You may come to Skinner and say, I want to lock him up. And the agent goes, no, let's wait. We think we're going to have a better season. So, you know, let's talk about Stu Skinner. Stu Skinner has taken his team to 2 Stanley Cups. We can argue how they got there, how he played, all that stuff. He's taken his team to 2 Stanley Cups. He's got a whole bunch of playoff wins, more than almost any goalie in the league, I would suggest, over the last few years.
Other than Bobrovsky.
Other than Bobrovsky, thank you. So his agent is saying, you know, his agent would tell you that I'm going to wait this year and see how the year goes. Now, if the Oilers sign someone they like more, if they do find a goalie that's better, well, that's a whole different ballgame. But right now, are you telling me, you know, with the goalie market out there, are you not re-signing Stu Skinner at some point in the later this season or next summer?
Oh, yeah, I would seem very likely, right? It just because there's not a lot of 27-year-old goalies in the free agent market, right?
No.
And I don't – like, Stu Skinner, if he has a good year, like, he's not going to command crazy money for a starting goaltender, right? $5 or $6 million, which – guess what? There's already 22 goalies making that much money.
Sure he is.
So yeah. it's not crazy money.
Hey, the year before last, all his numbers over the course of the regular season averaged him out to be like the, I think it was the 6th or 7th best goalie in the NHL.
Two seasons ago. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if he does that again, and you could, if his agent could look at Stan Bowman and say, in the last three seasons, two of them, my guy was like the 6th or 7th best goalie in the league. Well, then you got to pay him like the 6th or 7th best goalie in the league. That's how it works. So, yeah, he's making 6.5, 7, 7.5, whatever that number is. And the cap's going up, too. So, you know what? I don't – like, you got to be careful with Stu Skinner. You've invested – I feel like you've invested a lot in this guy. I feel like a 27-year-old goalie with that much experience under his belt is going to get better. I feel like if you let him go somewhere else, you're going to regret it. I like Stu Skinner. I know his flaws. I've seen every game, so you don't have to – people out there, you don't have to tell me. I know what I'm looking at, too. He could use some help. Sure. Bring another guy in. Okay. Let him go somewhere else and start all over again with a new goalie? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, there's definitely a risk because it's like, well, who are the free agent goalies to get, right? Like, there's not the market's not that deep, right?
Hey, trade him for Sorokin. Now we're talking, right? Bring in a guy who everybody in hockey would say to you, this guy's better than Skinner, and this guy's got a bunch of years left. Now let's talk. But don't be moving out Skinner and bringing in some guy who might be as good.
Yeah, yeah, no, that is totally true. What about Chris Knobloch? Is a 3-year extension kind of Captain Obvious for him?
I think so. I mean, listen, coaches, here's what we know about coaches, Jay. The crappy ones, the middling ones, and the really good ones, it always ends the same way. They all get fired eventually, right?
Like, it's true.
They don't last. They all get fired. I will bet you my house that when it ends, Chris Knobloch will get fired, right, from Edmonton, and he'll go somewhere else. So a coach wants to sign for as long as he can because it's guaranteed money. A team wants to sign a coach for as short as he can because it's not on the cap. And that's just the best deal. So, yeah, I'm going to say if I'm Chris Knobloch's agent, I want 4 years or maybe five because I brought the team to 2 cups. If I'm the Oilers, I'm offering 3. And you know what? I'll bet you they get in the middle. I'll bet you they meet for 4 years. What do you think?
Maybe 4. I was going to say 3 for sure. I'm looking at goalies who are potential the UFAs next summer. Sergei Bobrovsky. But he'll be 37 at that point. Jacob Markstrom would be 36. Peter Mrazek is another one. Freddie Anderson, 36 years of age.
Nope.
So, there's not a Philip Gustavsson. He's an interesting one. If you get now, he's got to get there for sure. We'll see, but,
Minnesota will keep him for sure. He's considered by Minnesota to be their goalie of the future.
Oh yeah, Fleury just retired. I don't see how
I guess if they totally implode on the island, maybe you can pry Sorokin out of them, but you're going to have to give them a lot of stuff, man. Oh boy.
Oh yeah, if you're dealing Sorokin, you're asking for a lot, man. He's one of the legit goalies in the league. You put him on a better team where he's getting a little bit more exposure. People are like, damn, this guy's like, if he was in Florida, could they have won with him in Florida? Yeah, they could have, right?
Because he was in Edmonton.
Their team is really good. Edmonton, you'd have to lose guys off, right? You'd have to take $5 million. The reason I say he goes to Florida is because he actually makes less than their goalie.
Either way, I mean, Markstrom, listen. Everyone in the league would tell you Markstrom's a pretty good goalie. I've seen the Oilers make him look like not a pretty good goalie.
Yeah, he's old. Like I'm not trading Stuart Skinner at 27 for Markstrom at 36 next summer.
No. So it's hard. You know what? It's hard. And I know Sam Bowman gets paid a lot of money to figure out hard. It's his job to make the goaltending department in the Edmonton Oilers better. Full stop. You know, he's got to make it better. So I'm not saying it's easy, and the guys out there, you know, there might not be the guy out there, Jason, but Bowman's getting paid to win a cup here. And if it's goaltending that everyone believes stands between the Oilers and a cup, then Stan Bowman's got to sharpen his pencil, get to work, and find a better goalie somewhere, somehow. And that's his job, right? That's his job.
Yep. Totally, totally agree. Spec, great stuff, buddy. Have yourself a lovely day on the deck tonight, evening on the deck, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Jay.
There you go. That's the Spec Report brought to you by GS Construction.